Friday. Friday. It's almost like whoever named Friday knew it should be celebrated with free fries. Free Fries Friday at McDonald's. Get a free medium fries with any purchase of a dollar or more on the McDonald's app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Offer valid through 9:30 at participating McDonald's. Excludes tax.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Mac Jones is on the move, the 15th overall pick in the 2021 draft, a Pro Bowler as a rookie, then a guy who regressed badly in 2022 with Matt Patricia serving as the de facto offensive coordinator. It got no better last year with Bill O'Brien back in New England. Now, Mac Jones heads to Jacksonville for a sixth-round pick. That trade becomes official 4 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday at the start of the new league year. Clearly, he'll be number two at best behind Trevor Lawrence, Chris. It's a dramatic fall for a guy who made it to the Pro Bowl right away and a guy who you believe, I believe, many believe was the initial target for the 49ers at the third overall pick when they traded up in late March of 2021, ends up at number 15 and now ends up out the door in New England not long after. The guy who he really didn't get along with too well in New England, Bill Belichick, ends up leaving as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not surprising, right? I think one of those where we all felt like both needed a change of scenery. Mac Jones needed to get out there. It ran its test or ran its course to where you're just like, we know that, you know, the fan base didn't seem to be in love with Mac Jones, right? They're trying to start a new era there and have a new look and have new leaders in the locker room. There was, of course, all the talk and things you heard about. You know, he's not loved within the locker room with everybody there. So that made sense. The writing was on the wall that the Mac Jones New England Patriots marriage was over. It was just like, where is he going to go? Who's going to make a play for him, right? And I think, you know, when it happened yesterday, I wasn't shocked, but I mean, I had so many people texting me or people I would see out like, wow, I can't believe it's only a fifth or sixth rounder. And I want to be like, well, what, you know, one, you know, you laid it out. It hasn't been that good the last few years, and a lot of it not to his doing. Again, that's back to our conversation of what you got around you, the support system. Maybe I shouldn't have a defensive coordinator calling plays and coaching the quarterback and a special teams coordinator being the other guy that's giving the offense ideas. I mean, that's like one of the weirdest things in the history of football, right? We still can't really, you know, like state that and that situation and how crazy that was. Crazy. The greatest coach of all time took people from a different aspect of the game and said, coach our young quarterback and get that right. That's insane. But he wanted out of there bad. And then, of course, what can New England do? The price value, or whatever they wanted for him, it's not going to be a lot. They know Mac Jones doesn't want to be there. Mac Jones and his representations told the league already he doesn't want to be there. So they make the trade. They get it done. And now the Jags got a good backup that protects their football team.
But even when it's clear that a team is moving on from a player, the fact that there was no other market for him, the fact that the best they could do was place him at number two at the highest on the depth chart in Jacksonville behind Trevor Lawrence is jarring. It means nobody else was even remotely interested in giving him a chance to compete to be a starter, to even be the guy, the Josh McCown, Mike Glennon short-term starter until they draft somebody, to not even do that we don't want this guy around for anything more than absolute positive, clear number two at best.
Yeah, well.
And the sixth round pick reflects that lack of value. That's what was stunning to me, that they couldn't get at least put him in a spot where may the best man win. And well, you get a fair chance to compete. He's not getting a fair chance to compete.
No.
He's not even getting that in Jacksonville.
No, he's an insurance policy.
Not that he deserves one, but he's not getting one.
No, well, and I think, Mike, you kind of alluded to this last segment, right? I mean, there's not as many seats at the table as everybody thinks right now, especially with a year as we're looking at it right now, where we talked about last week, and it's my belief that, I mean, the top, you know, five quarterbacks for sure are first-round talents. And people want to start young and have the rookie contract and do all of that. Mac Jones, like, who was going to be able to sell that to their fan base, right? The Mac Jones thing, right? That's the big thing, I think, when it comes down to it at the end of the day. And I think the teams that you look out there that go, wait, they needed quarterbacks, they couldn't sell Mac Jones as being any part of the competition, you know. I know I threw out Denver with Sean Payton because, you know, he's got some Drew Brees qualities and all that. But at the same time, he's going, wait, I just took over here. I want my own guy that I can mold, you know, and have the blank canvas again. So there's just not as many seats as I think as people think out there right now that make sense from all angles. It is shocking, I think, at base value. But like I said, when you kind of think about it and flush it out, I think you start to talk about it. And like I said, I had people yesterday asking me about it. I go, well, yeah. I mean, who is going to go? Why did you think there's going to be a market? And, yeah, I think everybody's kind of, you know, the ones that are desperate for these quarterbacks are looking still for a way to finagle it through the draft and get their guy that way.
It is weird to see at a time when there are more veteran quarterbacks available than ever, it seems, there just aren't the spots. Or the teams that otherwise would be inclined know that they're in striking distance to get
and they're going to wait it out.
You know, it takes the Bears off the table. It takes the Commanders off the table. It takes the Patriots off the table.
That's what I mean. Right, right.
Yeah. You're not even in it. I'm not doing it. Maybe I'll sign one of these lower level veterans to come in, but we know what we're doing when the draft rolls around. It's just a question of who we end up getting. Speaking of the draft, 2021, not a great year. Not a great. If this was a vintage of wine, pour it out, because you've got five guys that were taken in the first 15 selections. Trevor Lawrence is the only one who has established himself. Is he a franchise quarterback? At times, he shows those qualities. Last year was disappointing after a great second season, so it's still to be determined with him. For the rest, not too good. Now, Trey Lance has never really gotten a fair chance to play. Who knows what happens with him moving forward? Mac Jones traded for the sixth round pick. Justin Fields on the trade block. Zach Wilson benched and has permission to be traded. Nobody's going to trade for him. He's either going to get cut or they're going to keep him at the bottom of the depth chart in New York, which I doubt. So let's focus on Fields, Chris.
Yeah.
Let's focus on Fields.
Yeah.
My first thought when I saw Mac Jones for a sixth round pick is the Bears aren't going to get anything significant for Fields. They're not going to get a second round pick for Fields.
No, they're not.
They're not going to get a three next year that can become a two. They're not going to get a great trade package for Justin Fields because, number one, there's no team out there that is an obvious destination, to your point. And two, if you need a veteran, you don't have to trade for him. If you trade for Justin Fields, you're giving something up where you can sign one of these other guys, and Justin Fields is going to want to get paid. You got 1 year left of his rookie contract before the $25 million fifth-year option, and he's going to want his contract. When's he going to want it? Does he want it on his way through the door? I don't know, but that's part of it.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why, even though it's been obvious for 2 weeks now, the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams and move on from Justin Fields. I've become fascinated by when the Bears pull the trigger, because there may be no trigger to pull this week as the other seats fill up. And there's no destination for Justin Fields until at the earliest after round one of the draft, if one of the teams that's looking for a guy, planning to get a guy, doesn't get the guy they want, and their fallback is Justin Fields.
Right, right. No, or I mean, you know, we still sit here and I look at Atlanta and go there. But I think, like, the point you make too, right, is the value of Justin Fields and the trade, right, it's going to be better than it was for Mac Jones. but it's not going to be significantly better. It's not. I mean, you spit it out with 1 and 2 points, and here's a third point. How about the Bears don't want him and he doesn't want the Bears, right? That ruins it. The value there, just alone, with that comment right there, brings his value down. You think, like, I mean, again, Atlanta, if they're the only team out there, they're like, oh, yeah, we'll give you a first, we'll give you a second, even though we know you don't want him and he doesn't want to be there, right? Oh, yeah, okay, you're going to bring him and Caleb Williams and have them in the same locker room. Good luck with that, guys. I mean, that's how you will totally ruin your organization, Chicago. So everybody knows it's inevitable, and that hurts the value too. So, yeah, and you know, that's where we'll see if Atlanta kind of makes a move here. Atlanta might get to a point where they go, damn, yeah, we'll trade for Justin Fields. It didn't cost that much to get him. And they still might be evaluating quarterbacks to come out in the draft because of what you said. Wait, we only have this guy for 1 year. We got to figure it out, right? We only gave away a fourth-round pick here, so we don't, like, we can take a quarterback if we wanted with our first-round pick or dabble with other ways or scenarios we could get a quarterback, certainly. But we'll see where it goes. But, yeah, I don't think they're getting anything big time for Justin Fields.
It occurred to me yesterday that and look, at the end of the day, I understand that you're going to have issues in the locker room and if they don't want Fields and Fields doesn't want them. But plenty of teams over the years have just said, hey, man, this is the way it's going to be.
Right.
We have your contractual rights through 2024. Your money is guaranteed. If you want to get yourself suspended for conduct detrimental to the team because you don't want to be here and you fail to show up for this or fail to show up for that or you're just difficult because you don't want to be here, then we have ways of dealing with that. And for the player, he deals with it once. The team deals with it over and over again over the years. With all those guys that come and go, they know how to deal with their personnel. So it occurred to me yesterday, okay, if there's nothing cooking now, and there clearly isn't, and then nothing happens this week as the other veteran free agent quarterbacks sign and the dust settles there.
Right.
And if nothing happens in round one of the draft that causes a team to say, we'll give you what you want for Justin Fields now that you have Caleb Williams, why not just hold on to him, Chris? Hear me out. Why not hold on to him? Because at some point between the end of April and if Andrew Berry and the Browns get their way and the trade deadline moves from the Tuesday after week 8 until the Tuesday after week 10, somebody has a serious injury to a quarterback. Somebody picks up the phone, right? Last year, look at the mad dash to find quarterbacks. Where are we going to find quarterbacks? Where are we going to find quarterbacks? Hey, we got Justin Fields. We got it. But just like when the Eagles had Sam Bradford ready to go in 2016, when Teddy Bridgewater's knee implodes in a walkthrough practice late in the preseason. Here's Sam Bradford, 1-4. They did a heist for a 1-4 and pivoted to Carson Wentz. So you just hold on to Justin Fields until somebody needs him. And if nobody needs him, then the season ends and he walks away as a free agent. You get your compensatory draft pick on the back end.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hear you. It's been done before, right? But, I you know, to your point too, right? I mean, one, okay, you know, I think the NFL community still has questions about Justin Field. The Bears do, right? Right. The Bears explained that to us. They said it to the whole world. We want somebody that's better in 2-minute situations than in the game situations. It was an indictment on Justin Fields in an indirect way. That's what it was. I think there's a lot of people in football that have that too, have those same questions. They're not sure, right? I mean, yeah, you could get desperate. You could get lucky and get that guy at the trade deadline and get desperate and do all of that, right? But you could also, the other aspect is that is like we're going to invest in the number one pick of the draft with a guy that still has leadership qualities and a pretty strong presence himself, and he's going to be in the locker room, and our best player on our offense wants him to be the quarterback over the guy that we've just made the biggest investment in to be the first pick of the draft. Those, to me, are just – that's opening up more can of worms than it's worth. And for a guy like Eberflus and Ryan Poles, I just go, yeah, you could do what Mike Florio does, and you might get a good draft pick. Or, you know, you could – you know, or it could go the other way and do what Mike Florio does, and you totally just screw up your locker room and your football team. And the fan base is going, start Justin Fields, sit Caleb Williams, start Caleb Williams, sit Justin Fields, and then you know what's going to happen? Eberflus and Ryan Poles, you'll be sitting somewhere else other than a desk in Chicago the next year because you're going to get fired because it's going to be a crap show. And that's where I think there's just too much risk there for my liking. If I was in the position to call those shots in Chicago, I wouldn't want to mess with that.
3 years ago, the Vikings were eyeing Justin Fields, and the Bears traded up in front of the Vikings, cut the line. We didn't find out if the Vikings took Justin Fields. And I mention all that because as the Vikings look for plan B, wouldn't that be something if we get a Drew Bledsoe-style Patriots to the Bills trade when the Vikings have nowhere else to go and Fields stays in the division and ends up in Minnesota? It's not an impossibility at this point because there really isn't a clear option for Justin Fields if Atlanta doesn't come through. All right, let's take a break. When we return, Chris Jones was due to become a free agent. He has decided to stay exactly where he's been, and that's very good news for Chiefs fans everywhere. We'll discuss that next year on PFT Live.
I need three of those things, baby. We ain't done yet. We ain't done yet. Kansas City, we will be back here next year. And for those who want Chris Jones gone, I ain't going nowhere, baby!
Well, it might have been the booze talking that day, but the money was talking this weekend. And look, they finally worked it out at a time when there should have been a strong incentive by other teams to just blow this guy away with a contractual offer that gets him to leave the Chiefs. Tear down the Chiefs and build up another team. We saw it with the Cowboys in the 90s. It's been kind of a vibe in the NFL. When you have a really great team, do what you can. Do what you can. Take one for the rest of the league to try to knock the king off the top of the mountain. It was not to be. And it's very simple, Chris. At the end of the day, once the Chiefs are willing to do 95-3, that was good enough for Chris Jones. That's the Aaron Donald money. 95-3. That's the money that everybody else has been trying to get to. And we've seen, remember last year, it was one defensive tackle after another. Dexter Lawrence, Jeffrey
Quinnen
Simmons.
Williams.
A little, they were down around that 22, 23. And here's Aaron Donald at 31, 6, 7. No one was even pretending to get in that vicinity. On Friday, Justin Madubuike of the Ravens, 24-5, a little bit more than Quinnen Williams, still $7 million between him and Aaron Donald. So Chris Jones gets a little bit more than Aaron Donald. 95.3/3, courtesy of three $100,000 offseason workout bonuses. That's how he's going to be paid more than Aaron Donald, in the form of those three offseason workout bonuses. That's how he gets to 95.3 over the next 3 years. The team holds an option for the 2 years after that. We'll see if they keep him. At that point, it'll be 32. But he gets to the top of the stack at $31.75 million. $95 million as a practical matter is guaranteed, because to dump him and avoid year three, they'd have to cut him after year one.
Right.
And they'd owe him for 2 years at that point. So it's 3 years, 95, and we'll see what the Chiefs do after that. So he got the Aaron Donald contract 2 years after Donald got it.
Yeah, that's right. 3 years, 95. That's what the deal really is. And we'll see. He'll probably have to play great football to see the rest of it. That's for sure. Right? You know, I think he deserves to be there. I mean, this is what I've been talking about, right? I talk about this with other positions, right? Like, nobody should pass these two guys. Aaron Donald was in the stratosphere by himself. Chris Jones, the last 2 years, entered that stratosphere, right? And from what they've done with their career and how they're playing still at this moment, yes, they should be at the top of the market. I mean, Chris Jones, Aaron Donald, they're first ballot Hall of Famers. They're in the special room that we talk about. So, you know, that's where I get it. Let alone, like we talked about, he's a part of the fabric of this Chiefs dynasty. We know that. It's him, Kelce, and Mahomes. Those are the three guys. So, not shocked to see them finally make the big move to go all in here. And I think they found, you know, the sweet spot that makes sense for where Chris Jones is at his age, his play. He is still absolutely phenomenal, a difference maker that way. And I'm glad that we don't have to even talk about this anymore, because I want to see the Chiefs with Chris Jones and Kelce and Mahomes together as long as possible here, and see if they can keep this thing going.
Did you see the Chris Jones tweet after he did the deal? Clark Hunt, A+.
I don't know.
You know what that's a
reference. I did not
to.
See that. That is great, though. Yeah. You know, yeah. That'll add to his NFLPA.
Hey, But let me tell you, it's very beneficial to some of these players to have those grades come out right before the start of free agency.
Yeah, sure.
Clark Hunt, F minus.
Right.
He got an F minus on the NFLPA report card. And you can say all you want. Oh, it's not reliable. It's this, it's that. That F minus hurts.
Of course
Even though
it
Bart
does.
Simpson didn't care, it still hurt him to get an F minus. And there's Chris Jones giving Clark Hunt an A plus. Hey, Clark, I'll give you an A plus too. You give me $95 million over 3 years. I'll give you an A plus.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Jones isn't exactly unbiased, fresh from getting that kind of a contract, but it just shows you the value of the NFLPA report card. They can dismiss it all they want. The fact that they're trying to dismiss it, and there was an effort to do that in the aftermath of this year's grades, it shows you it's working.
I know. It's laughable. I don't know how you could dismiss it. You're dismissing the humans on your football team and what they're writing down, but they don't like it if it's negative that way. You're totally right. I mean, it's certainly, I mean, no owner, you know, nobody wants to see F minus near their name. Nobody. So I'm sure that hit home. It was personal, you know, to the ownership of the Chiefs and everything there. So, yeah, good job by them. And, hey, Mike, to your point, too, right? Like, I know it's with the like, hey, you'd like somebody to steal them, right, and all of that. I think people have been burned or because of the Cowboys and some other situations like that, I feel like there's kind of a feeling or thought out there in the NFL that, like, people are scared to do that now, right? Like, hey, we want to take away Larry Brown from the Cowboys. We're going to give him a ton of money. Oh, wait, he's not as good unless he has the rest of the Cowboys around him. Uh-oh, we paid him like he's a superstar. Now he doesn't have a great front four and all-star middle linebackers and all this. Oh, crap. Right. And I think there's a little bit, I'm not saying Chris Jones is Larry Brown, but there's the unknown from the other teams. You know, that's where I think it's big to where to give a groundbreaking contract or something like that to steal them away for it. Right. Where's that fine line? We stole them away. OK, but we didn't cross the line of, oh, crap, we screwed over ourselves and our own team here just to steal them away. And I think that's what scares, you know, teams away when it all is said and done.
Could have gotten more, though.
Probably.
Could have gotten more.
Probably.
On the open market. But it gets back to your point. How much does it really matter if you're walking away from a place where you've won 3 Super Bowl championships, you've got Patrick Mahomes, you've got Andy Reid, you've got the right vibe, you've built a legacy, you'll never have to buy another drink or a meal for the rest of your life in Kansas City. Not that you can't afford it, but you're a hero, you're a legend.
Yes.
If you stay with
right.
one team your
Playoff
whole career.
Checks.
So it was going to take a lot.
Right. Everything.
It was going to take a lot
yeah.
to get him to leave the Chiefs and whatever else was out there. Once they got to 95, and as I understand it, Chris, it was not easy to get to 95. But once they got to 95, that was it. No brainer. Combination of Aaron Donald money plus a little bit, and I'm still with Patrick Mahomes. No brainer. Shake hands, give Clark Hunt an A plus, and move on. One other point real quickly,
because
we don't have a ton of time for this, but Eric Armstead, 49ers defensive lineman, Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area, says a pay cut was requested. He declined. He was due to make $17.4 million this year. Armstead is going to be released by your San Francisco 49ers.
My San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, that's a good player. There's no doubt, right? But they got a lot of money invested in that defensive front seven already. Nick Bosa, Hargrave, Fred Warner, right? These are guys that are paid at the top of the market as far as what's their concern. Armstead getting up there in age a little bit. Armstead was beat up for a lot of the year this year. Armstead is being paid the amount of money that he doesn't perform to the guys that are in his class right now. Yeah, Vita Vea, Jonathan Allen, Kenny Clark, right? They're in the $17 million per year range. He's not that right now. So I can understand the 49ers asking, hey, you know, last year of your contract, take a little pay cut here. He said no, and I can understand the 49ers saying see you later. I can understand both sides saying no here. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to see a reconciliation between these two. I think that time is gone.
One other point about the 49ers, I saw that Adam Kaplan reported just before the show started, Kyle Juszczyk in a similar spot where the 49ers are trying to get him to take less.
Right.
And if he says no, he's going to be gone. That's what happens. When you don't have guaranteed contracts, there's a point where the team can rip it up. The player's stuck if the team wants to keep him, but the team can rip it up if the player won't take less money. All right, let's take a break. When we return, new regime in Los Angeles with the Chargers and some big moves potentially happening. Pretty much everybody except Justin Herbert is available in trade. We'll break it down next here on PFT Live.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
You might not think that a few simple words could make you crave McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. But if you listen closely to the sound of me saying McGriddles, McMuffin, you might be wrong. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The Los Angeles Chargers have a new general manager, a new head coach in Jim Harbaugh, and they're going to have some new players. Apart from anybody who doesn't return as a free agent, there are four big names, long-standing cornerstone players. Khalil Mack hasn't been there a long time, but he had 17 sacks last year, for crying out loud. Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, all available in trade. And for good reason. The Chargers are more than $20 million over the cap. They've got to get it in line by 4 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, and they're willing to explore trading any of these guys. Any of them. Now, if they can trade one or two, will they pull the other two back? I don't know. Will they release somebody if they don't get a trade offer? Somebody told me last night nobody's biting on Bosa or Mack because they've got big roster bonuses due third day of the league year.
Right.
The league knows that the Chargers are screwed, so why would we trade for guys and we got to pay them all this money right out of the gates?
Right.
When just cut them and we'll go sign them as free agents.
Yeah. It's going to be a little bit about the dead money. What's going to happen there for the Chargers? Will they cut these guys? Joey Bosa, though, like you said, yeah, the price tag is, you know, astronomical, right? The product on the field has not reached that level of what we've seen from when he was at his best. There's been injuries there. So I get that. Mike Williams, right? He's, what, 7-8 years in the NFL? Coming off a pretty significant injury
ACL.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen's up there a little bit. So, I mean, what we're seeing here is, a new coach that we know wants his kind of guys, and he's trying to set up the regime to fit the culture of what he wants, right? I mean, we see this always. And sometimes a part of that is like, hey, the older guy that's been around with other people here and, you know, is part of this kind of – unfulfilling culture with the Chargers the last 7, 8, 9 years. They don't want that anymore, right? But it's going to be hard. It's going to be interesting to see if they can make moves and get rid of some of these guys because I do think they're in a tough spot for sure.
If I'm a Chargers fan, I'm encouraged by this. Even though it hurts to see some of the biggest names on the team
go,
the message is, as you're saying, something's off with this organization. As I say all the time, quoting Rosanna Dan, and I know only 2% of you get it, but the 2% of you love it. It's always something with the Chargers. It's always something. And the guys who have been part of the It's Always Something Chargers for the longest time need to go.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I come in and I say, this is how I commence the process of attacking the day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. I have to attack these guys on the roster that need to go. We got to move on from some of these guys. We need a sense of a disinfecting of the organization.
Right. That's
not that these
right.
guys are problems.
Yeah.
Not that they haven't been great players.
Right.
But we need to turn the page hard to this new regime, and this is a way to send that message. Even if they don't trade the guys, and even if they keep a couple of them, the fact that it's out there and hasn't been denied is a powerful message. No sacred cows except for Justin Herbert. No one is off limits except for Justin Herbert. No one is immune from potentially getting cut or traded except for Justin Herbert.
Yeah, well, they're not. We know that. I mean, when Jim Harbaugh basically talks about the starting quarterback as being like God and he's in awe of him, I think he's safe. We know that, and he's special. So they're going to formulate everything around him. But, yeah, this is not common. I mean, this is not like breaking news. This is fairly common. Wait, coach that takes over new team, looks to go, how can I change this team? How can I trim the fat? Wait, who are older players that are making like significant amounts of money where we don't know if they really have that capability or that, you know, top end style of football in their game anymore? And that's where they look at it. And, yeah, Khalil Mack, double-digit years. Yeah, last year was great, but the years before that, not so great. We hit it. Bosa, injury. Allen, Keenan Allen, what are we going, year 11, 12? I'm somewhere in the range there. So those are the guys that, yeah, usually a new regime looks at to go, wait, let's get some new guys in here and let's start formulating a culture here that makes sense for what we want and build it from there and have some money to play with. But, yeah, I mean, dead money and stuff like that is going to be a part of the conversation here, and I'll be interested to see what the trade market is for some of these guys.
The big key is they got to clear cap space for 2024 because they are more still than $20 million over.
Right.
They are the worst team. They're in the worst position right now as it relates to the cap heading into Wednesday. When we return, Russell Wilson isn't the only Bronco heading to the AFC North. Another member of the team will officially be traded to the Cleveland Browns on Wednesday. We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live. There have been trade rumors, it seems like every year for the past couple of years, involving Jerry Jeudy and the Denver Broncos. Didn't happen last year before the deadline is happening now. Jeudy to the Browns. Broncos get a 5th and 6th round pick in 2024. Jeudy in the last year of his 5-year rookie contract. My, how time flies. I still remember when we interviewed him in Miami when he had left Alabama and he was on his way to the draft. 54 catches, 758 yards last year, 2 touchdowns. There's been a nagging concern that he's not fulfilled his potential. He and Steve Smith got into it last year because Smith's attitude and opinion was he's just the guy. So he goes to Cleveland now, pairs up with Amari Cooper, David Njoku, Elijah Moore, whoever they end up lining up at tailback. And you know, this is another weapon for Deshaun Watson. They want to boost Deshaun Watson. Yeah. They get a weapon to help the passing offense, assuming Watson's healthy.
No, this is great for Cleveland. I mean, it gives them everything. You know, more stability, more versatility, more depth, right? Jeudy's not a superstar. Never thought he was, really. He was one of those guys back in the draft process, you remember, where he was like the bona fide number one guy, and it was just like, you know, what's real special about the guy to make number one? You know, he runs good routes, but I'm not going to go, oh, I'm taking him in the top 10 because he runs good routes. But there's no weakness to his game, and he does do everything well. It didn't work out with the Denver Broncos, right? So I love this for Cleveland. To get a player like this for a fifth and sixth round pick, I mean, this is a guy that's certainly capable of catching north of 70 receptions and flirting with 1,000 yards for a number of years, right? Whether that's 90 receptions, 80 receptions, whatever. He's got good size. He does go on good routes. He can beat you down the field, right? I kind of look at this one with Denver and go, what the hell were you doing? Why didn't you trade him at the deadline last year? That's what I kind of look at. Like, if you knew you didn't like him, last year at the trade deadline, Mike, if I remember correctly, I mean, they wanted to trade him for a first, a second. I mean, those were the things being thrown out there. But it got to the point of the year, again, like we were talking about with Justin Fields and some of these other guys, where it's like, wait, Jerry Jeudy and his camp have told everybody now they don't want to be here anymore. Denver's told people they don't like Jerry Jeudy. And now the value gets lessened. So great job by Cleveland. I mean, unbelievable. You got a starting, like, pretty damn good number two wide receiver for a 5th and 6th round pick. Sold. Take it. Boom. See ya. Good job, Cleveland.
When he was taken by the Broncos 15th overall in 2020, on the board were CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, Michael Pittman Jr., and Justin Jefferson.
Oh, just that guy.
And Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
One last point, and then we got a break.
Okay.
This does put a little more pressure on Deshaun Watson. Of course. One less excuse.
Of course.
You know, Deshaun, this is it. No excuses this year. You got Amari Cooper. You got Elijah Moore. You got Jerry Jeudy. You got David Njoku. You've got the pass catchers. Now you got to go out and be the pass thrower that we are paying you $46 million fully guaranteed per year on a five-year deal to be.
Yeah, period. That's right. And if their O-line's healthy, it's one of the best O-lines in football, too. Yeah, there's no wiggle room here for Deshaun Watson. He's going to have to play at a high level. Like we talked about last week, with the supporting cast around him, their team in general, the defense, and then added on top of that burden of the guaranteed contract, this is Deshaun Watson without question. And then the way it ended last year and how they looked with Joe Flacco at quarterback, Deshaun Watson without question is probably the quarterback under the most pressure in all of football this year. That's kind of how I look at it. I know there's probably another guy or two that are in that convo with him, but he's up there at the top of the list.
He's number one.
Yeah,
top of the list,
right?
All right, let's take a break.
Yeah.
We'll wrap up this first day of the legal tampering period edition of PFT Live right after this. Always interesting when a quarterback changes teams to look at the slate of opponents for the upcoming year. And as we know, once the regular season ends, the teams that you'll play the next year are known. We just don't know the specific as to the when. We know the where, we know the who, we don't know the when. We find that out in May. So I decided to peruse, Christopher, the Steelers' 2024 opponents and the usual home and home with the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Browns. They also have the Cowboys this year. They have the Chiefs coming to town.
Okay.
Interesting games, especially if Russell Wilson is the quarterback,
right.
The Giants, the Chargers, the Jets. On the road, how about this? In addition to their divisional rivals, they'll go to Atlanta. They'll go to Indianapolis. They'll go to Las Vegas. They'll go to Philadelphia. They'll go to Washington. And thank you, football gods. The Pittsburgh Steelers this year will go to Denver.
Oh my
God. Let's ride.
Oh, Russell, he can't get away. He had to go to Seattle to play his first game ever there. Now he's going to deal and gonna have to go back to Denver and he'll hear the boo birds there. Sean Payton, he's probably like, damn, I got to deal with that too. He had to deal with the whole Jets thing coming to town last year and all that. Now he's going to deal with Russell Wilson coming to town.
Monday night. Week one, Steelers and Broncos.
It might be.
Football gods.
It might be.
Make it happen. Have a great Monday.
See ya.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
You might not think that a few simple words could make you crave McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. But if you listen closely to the sound of me saying McGriddles, McMuffin, you might be wrong. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.